你肯
The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 12th of June, 1974, in Paris, France.
France amongst the communist students, communist Indian students. And the center is also literary critic. That means that he's writing a lot of articles in a newspaper and explaining many things on the literary circles in French. He also knows very much about Gandhi philosophy. He has been writing a lot about Gandhi's philosophy. So when he knew that you were with Gandhi, he became very interested.
So we are also communist.
Some communist.
As you take the state as the center, we take Krishna as the center. Krishna is the proprietor. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita says, enjoyer, I am the proprietor, I am the friend. Bhoktaram, read of this. Bhoktaram jagadam sam sarvarupam aheshanam sridam sarvabhutanam gyata man santimichet. This is the process of peacefulness. When one understands that Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the proprietor of all lokas, all worlds, and Krishna is the best friend of everyone.
You said that the liberation of India from the English was done because of many various forces, but that amongst the people, the common mass of people who helped to liberate India, there was, of course, the religious people, but there was religious people on both sides. There was religious people for those who amongst those who wanted to liberate India, but also among those who wanted the English to be there, wanted imperialism.
In other words, his point essentially is that religious sentiment was there on both sides. It was there on the imperialist side, as well as on the side of those who were fighting for India's liberation. So this seems to be a kind of dichotomy. Religious sentiments can be expressed by anyone, whatever their motivation is, whether it be imperialist, whether it be communist. Religious sentiment is...
What is religious sentiment?
He says again that in India, now also there's a big struggle, because they are trying to solve the immediate problems of hunger, all these problems now. And of course, there is religious people on the side of those who are struggling now. But there is also religious people on the other side of those who want to keep the situation as it is now. And then he said that...
Religious people want to keep the situation starving? Starving situation?
We want to see,
Do you understand what he's saying now?
Because what he says on the birth part, they are based on a basic of Bhagavad Gita, and the imperialist people on the other side, they do both sometimes on the base of Bhagavad Gita.
Who? Oh.
The communists and the imperialists.
Moi, G. Desai est l'élément dirigeant le plus réactionnaire du parti.
Il
a une motivation religieuse plus exigeante.
He is also a religious man, but is against the change now. He wants to keep as it is, imperialism. You know. So he said that there are so many of these people who are religious, and they are, of course, all they have good goals. That is to help people. that you found people following Bhagavad Gita on the side of those who are struggling now to change the situation, and the side on the side of those who are in the situation as it is. So it's a, there's an ambiguity there.
Ambiguity means he is not clear in his knowledge. What is religion and what is liberation? These things he does not know clearly.
He says that now they are using religion for their own interests and for their own goals.
Who is that man?
That all the social forces in India wants to keep their own privileges.
So the communist does not?
He said, but in Marxism, there is no religious references.
But what is called terrorism facility, there is. There is no religious sentiment, but there is terrorism sentiment. Some sentiment is there.
He said that yesterday in Assam, 7 students have been killed. But is it the communists who killed them?
Huh?
He's saying, is it the communists who killed them?
Communists killed others.
7 students, yes.
So he said that in India, all the members of the government, they are religious people, some of them are Brahmins. But still, they have been arresting 40,000 people working on the railways for no good reason. So that's why he said that religion is used by the people for their own privileges.
Therefore I ask, what does it mean by religion?
C'est pour ça que notre maître demande, qu'est-ce que vous entendez par religion? He said, one should ask a question not according to what one thinks about religion,
but
what one is being used now.
You cannot think of religion. Our conception of religion is different.
He said that here in France, the Christians, they are now reviewing their own Christianity, their own philosophy, because they see that the materialistic people, they are giving critics, and they are right in their critics. So they are changing their religion.
Notice he's saying that religion has to be defined according to the way the mass of people accept it.
That is not religion. That is sentiment.
So he said that those who have been just religious and working in for the independence, they didn't go do any real good.
Now, first of all, our proposition is, what does it mean by religion?
He said that there cannot be an abstract definition of religion, but only the experience of religion.
No, we have got definition of religion. Let him learn from us.
So he said that I know what is religion, but what brings religion in the concrete life, the day-to-day life? What good brings religion in the life?
He said, even if I were to learn your definition of religion, he says the important thing is how it is practiced, not just words. He says the important thing is how it is lived, how people live their
practice. Life. It is practice. Those who are real religionists, they practice it.
He said this is a real problem, how to practice religion, not only on the individual platform, but on the social platform.
No, we are teaching our Krishna consciousness movement, we are teaching how to practice religion.
He said that even though himself is materialist and atheist, he propagates in his articles, in his newspaper, you know, he propagates certain aspects of religion.
No, first of all, we must know what is religion and what is atheist or what is theist. First of all, if we know what is religion, then we can define who is following, who is not following.
So he said what he can do is his own experience of religion and what he is propagating when he talks in
Now what is his experience of religion?
So he said that in Hinduism, what he thinks
but
is the best
religion is not meant for Hindus or Christians, for everyone. So there must be a general definition of religion.
So he said that his idea is that Advaita Vedanta philosophy is the best in the
world. What is that, Advaita?
Philosophy.
What is that, Advaita?
He said that Advaita Vedanta.
What is that, Advaita Vedanta? Let him define.
Advaita, means without.
Without?
Not precise.
No, it means dual, so yeah. Non-dual.
Non-dual. There is not two. This is Advaita.
What is that one?
So, what I think this gentleman is explaining is that he finds the idea of non-dualism very attractive, because he says if a real religion is to fulfill its responsibilities, then it will not try to teach its followers that there are two separate things. There's the creation and there's you, the create. There's a creator and then you. But rather, there's a harmony with the individual being and the totality of existence, not just on the individual religious level, but also socially. So in other words, he's seeing that this Advaita philosophy, this non-dual philosophy, is very nice on the political or social level as well, since it teaches a kind of unity of the individual with everything.
Well, this is not very clear. Now, dualism means two, and monism is one. So he says monism, Advaita. So monism, what is the center of monism?
So he says that to discuss what is that center of monism is not as important as it is living.
But you cannot, if you have no objective, then you cannot live in one life.
He says that before, he says perhaps it would be worthwhile, he finds it worthwhile before trying to make any definitions about the center, to first free man from all of the things that are keeping him enslaved today. In other words, before we can build a platform for...
But if you do not know what is the meaning of freedom, how you can make them free?
So, he says, the best answer he can give you is an answer that he heard from Maharshi. It's a very good answer. That before you can come to defining anything positively, first we must say nitty nitty. It is not this, it is not that. Then we've decided what
that
is this.
I'm therefore asking, whatever he's proposing is a nitty. It is not divine.
He says the answer of that is very often come, doesn't have to come with the name of God, because the name of God is very often utilized to mystify the people.
In other words, he's saying, I know what you want to get me to say. You want me to say the center is God. But he's saying, I'd rather not say that because that's too mystical.
Then what is the use of talking if you do not know the center point? He says that to come to the truth, neti neti. So we must come to the truth. So we must find out first of all truth. Then we discuss the other subordinate things.
But all these other things like political and otherwise are all just details. The first thing is you have to find the center.
Neti neti means not this, not this, means to search out the truth.
What he's suggesting is that first of all, we'd be better off not giving it some kind of concrete form, because he thinks ultimately the silence is the best answer.
Yes,
so he says if
silence is better than don't talk.
Well, he says still we can give it some form
for
discussion
silence?
Purposes.
Silence means don't talk. If you prefer silence, then don't talk.
He suggests, well, in that case, if we're going to discuss the absolute truth, then we can say that the ultimate
and
is...
He says that absolute truth is non-dual.
Yes, Tatamasi. He's saying, we are that.
So then why he raised the question of absolute truth, non-dualism? Neti neti. This is the discussion of absolute truth. So why he says that for the timing, let us become silent.
In other words, he's saying, let's get rid of everything which is not the absolute truth and not talk about actually what is the absolute truth yet. He's just saying, let's get rid of this bad situation, let's get rid of this bad situation, and let's not talk about really what the truth is yet, because we don't know. Let's be silent about that. Let's just work to get rid of the bad elements. This is how he's trying to practice his philosophy. In other words, if there's this political problem here, let's get rid of this, and let's get rid of this one, but let's not talk about what actually the goal is yet.
Just for example, he says that Krishna was... urging Arjuna to fight. He says, well, that fight has two meanings. One is the historic sense, and the other one is that it's a struggle inside ourselves to get free of all of the bad situations, to get free of our false ego, to get free of our pride.
questions. What is he aiming at?
Unless we understand what is his aim of discussion, then how we can make progress? Why you are bringing Krishna, Arjuna? First of all, let us know what is the aim of our discussion with the subject matter of discussion.
His main point when he quotes Bhagavad Gita is to show that it is a philosophy of action. It is dynamic. That Krishna told Arjuna to fight, though there was a war. It is dynamics, not just, you know, sentiment,
yes,
and philosophy. It is active.
Yeah, nitty-nitty, getting rid of the bad elements.
Yes. That is practical. Practical action.
So therefore it says we're coming back to our original point of discussion, which is that real religion is not a question of a man's motives, but it's a question of his actions. What motivates, what does a man do? How is religion lived?
Yeah, that we are preaching in Krishna consciousness. We are not sitting idly and smoking gaya. It is not like that.
So what he's saying is that, yes, in this connection I can compliment you for the work that you are doing, because from what he has experienced, most of the people who are coming from India to preach about Krishna, talk about Krishna to old people or people who actually don't have any use for Hinduism or spirituality except as a kind of diversion or a drug. So I think, if I understood correctly...
I agree. He's right.
He wasn't appreciated exactly.
He's right.
Did you appreciate, first of all?
He wasn't appreciate what we are doing exactly. He says, with his Indian, what is the name of Francin. He says there is many Swami and writer come from India and teach to the people, to the Western people, what is Krishna, what is Indian philosophy, what is God. But they always teach to people who need to be saved, need something to be saved, and they take it like just a drug or just like some kind of a dream, just to get something to get saved from the material world. But that doesn't mean the action is concrete. That's his point.
We are not doing that. We are in the material world. We are teaching Krishna philosophy, practicing. All these young men, they are actually 24 hours engaged in Krishna consciousness. We are different from them.
It seems that the people in the Western world, mostly now they take Indian religion, from some religion or philosophy come from India, because the Christian philosophy has some defect.
Very good.
The religions come from India are infinitely richer than the religion we know in the West. And we cannot see only one aspect. He says there is so many faces in Indian religions.
Yes. The idea of philosophy and religion, that is originated from India, there is no doubt about it. And that original idea of philosophy, practically demonstrated by Krishna. The ideal, original ideal of religion and philosophy is preached by Krishna. And all the acharyas followed that.
He said that's the distinction between the dogmatic aspect between the Hindu religions and the Western religion. He says the Christian or the Western religion are marked by dogmatism and they are very
narrow.
And they have imperialist conception.
He says that Western religions are narrow-minded. That they don't have the openness that the religions of the East have in India, for example. And that the West has this capitalist, imperialistic tendency, which is also supported by its religion.
No, but therefore I ask, what does he mean by religion?
He says, we can say, his point here, we can say something, there is so many aspects of religion. There is the Bhakti Yoga, by love and by heart. There is the Karma Yoga, by action. There is Jnana Yoga by knowledge. He says if in Western countries we propagate Bhakti Yoga, we take the risk of using it, Bhakti Yoga, like a drug or something, like if we are dreaming or something like that.
Bhakti Yoga by drugs?
He said he made this statement according to the state of the French people in right now, in this time.
But we do not prescribe drugs. We ask them to give up drugs.
But he's questioning Prabhupada whether or not bhakti yoga is suitable for everyone in every instance.
Yes, that is the only yoga meant for the human being. Any other yoga system, practice, they are against bhakti yoga.
How do you say
it?
You said that escape. Bhakti yoga is an escape. Bhakti yoga brings to escaping.
Then he does not know what is bhakti yoga. Arjuna did not escape. He was trying to escape, but by bhakti yoga he was captured.
He says Bhagavad Gita is a...
He said it's a work which is very, very practical and rational.
Yeah. So therefore, that is real bhakti yoga.
He said that Anugita is also a very practical work.
No, Anugita. Anugita is also another rebellious condition. Bhagavad Gita as it is, that is required.
He says that the great choice of scriptures from India allows us to choose like that. We can choose.
No, you can choose, but if you do not know how to choose, what is the meaning of your choosing?
He says, he chooses Ramakrishna, I choose only Sindhya.
But they, if all of them, I understand, yeah. All of them, they make center Krishna. So why not take Krishna? Now, this Ramakrishna say, I am the same Krishna. So if we give respect to Ramakrishna because of his being the same Krishna, why not go to the same Krishna directly?
He says it's not a full conclusion. Mm-hmm. And he says he can take another way and
you cannot. If you are referring to Krishna, if you are referring to Bhagavad Gita, then why don't you take it original?
He says, this is the answer, he says, from Ramakrishna. When you have a thorn in your foot, you take another thorn and you pluck it out, and afterwards you throw them both away.
So, Bhagavad Gita does not say. Bhagavad Gita says that you surrender unto me and sustain this. Therefore, he has misled. He did not understand what is Bhagavad Gita, and he misled so many fools. That is his business. One thing is, Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says, Mam Ekam Saranam Bhaja. And Ramakrishna says that you can accept any path. So this is against Bhagavad Gita.
He says, of the two choices, he likes Ramakrishna's better.
That is his choice. But if he says that I am the same Krishna, why he should be different?
He says,
Krishna says, and Ramakrishna says that whatever path you select, it is all right. See, it is completely against Bhagavad Gita principle. And he said, his name was Gadadhar Chatterjee. So, at the time of his death, he declared to Vivekananda that I am the same Krishna, I am the same Rama. So, they believed in that without any evidence. And they start with this Ramakrishna mission. This is the history.
He recognizes that. Mm-hmm. And he says, it is one interpretation, as you have your interpretation, as there are many. He doesn't think that these interpretations are as important as the art of knowing how to live, which is, he thinks, the essence of all religion, how to live. He says, the interpretation is not so.
He thinks that Ramakrishna lived very well than others.
I think one, if I've understood, he's insisting on one point. That is that the public opinion is actually the most important thing. Just as Ramakrishna expressed the spirit of the Gita in a way that was most popular, was most favorable to the public.
With that public, amongst you who accept Ramakrishna.
He says, as same as Gandhi, at different time, but at their time,
Prabhupada's
at their own time.
Prabhupada's questioning the presumption of this generalization. He said the majority of the public have accepted Ramakrishna's comments on the Bhagavad Gita, but what public? Where's the specifics of that generalization?
And then he said just, and then Gandhi gave another interpretation.
Amongst the scholars and the true Vedic authorities in India, they don't accept Ramakrishna at all.
He says at his time, Ramakrishna has been the expression of the mass of the people.
No,
What mess?
That is false.
Ramakrishna is popular in the West because of skillful propaganda.
He says that, well, in a sense, we have to accept that Ramakrishna was expressing the sentiments of the public because he lived amongst the public.
No, that is his false understanding.
Still, that doesn't make it valid. Hitler lived amongst the public too.
Now, I'll give you an example that mass of people in Jagannath Puri, in Vrindavan, many thousand, 20,000 people every day come to worship Jagannath, to worship Krishna. But there is a Ramakrishna temple in Belur Math or somewhere else. Nobody goes. So how do you say the mass of people attracted to Ramakrishna? And similarly, recently our foreign students went to Vrindavan, went to Navadvip by thousands. But nobody goes to Ramakrishna Mission Temple. Then, other point, Ramakrishna Mission is working in the Western world almost 100 years. Find out their disciples, so many we have got. Your statement, it is meant for the mass of people, it is false. I have given you proof from India and from here also. That means throughout the whole world. In India, nobody cares for Ramakrishna. That I have given you proof. You go to Vrindavan, there nobody cares for Ramakrishna. You go to Jagannath Puri, Haridwar, so many holy places. Nobody cares for Ramakrishna. So your idea that it is for the mass, it is false.
Right. He says he was talking about the time of Ramakrishna, when Ramakrishna was there.
Well, that everything, the bubble comes and goes. It is no meaning.
He says numbers aren't really very important. It's like
it's not a proof.
It's not a proof, just numbers.
Huh?
He says, but that's not a proof, just to say that there are greater numbers.
He was trying to submit it as a proof to submit it.
Well, sometimes he is going this side, sometimes going that side. Sometimes he says mass of people. And again he says, not the number of people. What is mass of people? There is a number of people.
He says, for example, he can see the mass of people in Italy, they are Catholic. But that doesn't mean he's going to be impressed by the Catholic philosophy.
You are comparing that the mass of people, they take to Ramakrishna. That I prove. They're not the mass of people, not at all interested. That I prove.
Right.
That is my answer.
He said that he was not saying that thousands of people were following Ramakrishna.
What does the mass of people mean?
He says Ramakrishna, whether he knew it or not, he was expressing the sentiment of the people at that time.
At that time, that is finished. So that is not permanent settlement. But Krishna's supremacy, at least for the last 5,000 years, is intact. Now, he says Aurobindo, Gandhi, Ramakrishna, they are all gone. They came and gone. But Krishna philosophy is true and it is standing and it will go on standing.
He says, it's not the person we import in this example, it's the idea they was expressing all from 5,000 years. The same idea was there.
Yeah, same idea. Krishna is the Bhagavan Sam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. That idea is accepted.
He's saying that Aurobindo and Ramakrishna expressed that same idea in contemporary language in their own time.
So that existed temporarily, now it is gone.
Yes.
That will not appeal.
In other words, what he's suggesting is that that's not actually an argument, because the important thing is that there were times, at different times, different people have come and have attempted or have actually represented the public sentiment. They have become an epitome, a resume, a synthesis of the public sentiment at a particular period. In other words, he's saying the great preachers, they've always been representatives of people. Instead of being representatives of Krishna or God, they've been the representatives of the people.
The people representative is different from God's representative.
He says that, well, that's a belief. You have to believe that. So that's only a belief.
No, people change according to the time, circumstances, they change that. Their opinion has no value. We don't give any value to the people's opinion. We give value to the Supreme Being's opinion.
It was said, but that's dangerous because then we run the risk of having people who say, well, I represent the Word of God. I can give you the true interpretation of the Word of God. And they're actually only interested in private interest.
If people, not all, and if there is actually opinion of God, if one man says the same opinion, then how others can say that you are not giving God something? God said, Krishna said, that you surrender to me, and if I say that you surrender to God, then how I am deviating from God's instruction?
In other words, what you're saying is that, in essence, we must stick to the words of God without interpreting.
That's what you want.
Voila.
If you interpret, then the God's authority is denied.
He says there is some deviation, some interpretation by some philosophers or sages. They deviate the origin.
One who deviates, he is not a sage.
Yeah.
He's a thief.
Yeah, it's what he says. I'm just translating his words. Now,
if he deviates from the words of God, then he is not a sage.
He says, well, the thing that he appreciates in Hinduism is its openness, that it's tolerance to so many different paths and so many different interpretations.
That is another thing. But to abide by the orders of God, that is another thing.
He says, then we've made the full turn again. We've come back to the beginning. So he says, so we've actually come back to the beginning of our discussion again, which is that real religion has to be judged by the actions of men.
Yes, that you can judge. Here is the action of the men. Now the young men and boys and girls are taking to Krishna consciousness. And who is taking to Ramakrishna?
So he is a man of action. And here we have a movement of action which is solving all problems of the world with his complaint. It's not a dream. It's actually by following this movement of solving all problems. Follows exactly what Krishna says, then all the problems will be solved. So why doesn't he follow what Krishna says?
He received the information. He received the information that to follow with some interest, that to follow what Krishna says, and like that, we can solve problems.
Yeah.
And personally, he respects you.
Thank you. That's all right. But the thing is that we must know that he has spoken about Ramakrishna and Aurobindo. They also centered their propaganda on Krishna. That's like I already told. Ramakrishna said, I am the same Krishna. Then he takes to Krishna. Aurobindo, he has written like divine, that is, his explanation of Bhagavad Gita. He takes to Krishna. This Maharshi, he has also presented Bhagavad Gita. He takes to Krishna. So their importance is by taking to Krishna. Otherwise they are valueless. Nobody.
He says, because for him that's not really a problem. He says, he rather than referring to the person Krishna, he just goes directly to the teachings of the Gita and he profits from that.
No, teachings, Bhagavad Gita means Krishna. That is the folly of the so-called scholars. They want to study Bhagavad Gita without Krishna. Just like one wants to play Hamlet without Hamlet.
Shankara?
Shankara has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. Does he know that? That Shankara has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality.
So his point is that, well, ultimately, now what's going to happen, he says, we're going to get into a discussion about whether or not the Supreme is a person or impersonal, and he says he doesn't really have the time to get into that.
Then? What did he? Why he come here? What problem?
Well, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarvadharma Prithidya Mamekam Saranam Braja. He says, give up all this religiousness and surrender to me. The whole purport of the Bhagavad Gita, he's telling Arjuna to fight, but ultimately he needs to say, just forget about all these ideas you have in your head and surrender to me.
Yes, Krishna.
Yeah.
Me means Krishna.
Right.
So then, Krishna is everything. Yes, Maham Ekam, only two.
So,
anyone who has studied Bhagavad Gita rightly, he'll do that, surrender to Krishna.
He says that is an opinion, just as there are so many.
But this opinion is followed by all the acharyas. India's culture depends on the acharya. Just like Ramanacharya, Madhvacharya, Sankaracharya, Nimbarka, Vishnuswami, like that. So, and the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, acharya upasana. So India's culture is still up to date. It is followed by the acharyas. Anyone you find in India who claims to become a Hindu, he must have followed the acharya. So all the acharyas accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God.
He says all the Christian and all the priests, they tell to him from 2,000 years the truth is in the Evangel, but still he says no.
Just like we're saying that all the acharyas have accepted Krishna, he says so also in the Christian religion, all the priests and all the Christians have said that Christ is the ultimate, as it says in the Evangel.
Yes, we have several times explained that Christ says that he is the Son of God, so we don't deny it.
What he's saying is that outwardly they all profess allegiance to Jesus, but it seems they disagree with one another on many points. They have diversified opinions about what Jesus meant about this and what his life signified.
And therefore, for him, he doesn't even consider that question, whether Christ is the Son of God, whether he's not the Son of God. For him, it's a secondary problem.
And what is his problem that he didn't even disclose?
Well, he says the problem is the art of living. What is the best way to live?
So, he has got his opinion, I have got my own opinion. How will he agree? We say that if we remain in Krishna consciousness, everything will be solved. Does he agree?
He says, no.
No, absolutely not. Just like I don't
then
accept
Then why shall I agree to his point?
So he says, so I have to leave now, but the last thing I'd like to say is that I reject that conclusion, just like I reject also the Christian conclusion that the truth is in the Evangel. But he says, that doesn't impede me, that doesn't stop me from working very nicely with some of my best friends who are Christians. When it comes down to practical
now,
work.
Now, what is his opinion? That he never disclosed.
But what practical thing is
what he
doing?
Says, what he says is, he's not Christian, he's atheist, and he's materialist. But he says, he guides the people to read the Bhagavad Gita because he says in Bhagavad Gita there is something more than in any evangel.
So we say also something. So where is the disagreement?
He says that in his political work, he teaches sometimes Bhagavad Gita and people are very, very interested.
He says he is the only communist to suggest to people that they read the Bhagavad Gita.
No, we recommend everyone to read Bhagavad Gita.
He says that when he explains Bhagavad Gita, he presents Bhagavad Gita to people, he doesn't tell them, so this is the word of God and you just have to accept it.
That means he has not studied himself Bhagavad Gita. That means he has not studied Bhagavad Gita.
You say that he thinks the same about us, that we are also not understanding perfectly Bhagavad Gita.
Then they let him understand from us.
He says he thinks we haven't perfectly understood.
So let us discuss who understands. You or me?
Respect pour les personnes.
So who decide? You are understanding or I am understanding? Who decide? Who decide it?
So if he is a man of action, let us see, he has got his philosophy, Bhagavad Gita, we have got our philosophy, let us see by the results whose action is doing things. We have no political problem, we have no economic problem, we have no social problem. What more action does...
Religious problem, any problem.
So what does that indicate?
No.
And you have all problems.
Now, this goes in lesson. Our Bhagavan Das says that he has no problem, we have no problem, and you have got all problems. So who is better? Who is better?
And anyone who joins us loses all his problems.
He says, then that's very serious, because if you have no problems, that means that you're trying to escape from the world, because their world is full of problems.
We are in the Paris city, how we have escaped from the world? We have got branches in London, in Paris, in New York, and big cities, and all these boys are coming from big cities, how they have escaped? It is not justice. If you say that they have escaped, That is wrong statement.
We
are not escaping anything.
What kind of proof are you looking for? Let's talk about proof. What kind of proof are you looking for?
No, another point is, he is accusing us that we are escaping. Oh, why is he escaping Krishna consciousness?
He says he thinks that what we're doing is simply a kind of medicine that doesn't actually resolve the problems that people are...
It is not result, then how this boy says we have no problem? The patient says he has cured, and you say it is not cured.
So repeat the problem.
With your permission, he would like to take leave.
Why? Stay with us. Let us conclude. Why are you flying off? We have started one discussion. Let it be finished. Why are you going off? That means he is escaping.
He says because he works in the evenings. He's a theater critic.
That's all. Like somehow he's escaping.
Then he says,
with
pleasure, he would like to come back to finish the discussion.
Yes.
And with friendship.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. When we have begun the discussion, let us finish. Don't escape.
Make sure you have some more prasadam before he goes.
So when there is discussion, you should all be present. It is very interesting.
He likes to see people engaged in work that is humanitarian, that will resolve the problems of the world.
Everyone says, all Askers say
that. He's like one of these rascals who translates the Bhagavad Gita in a certain way, like saying the five Pandavas are the five senses and the battlefield is the body. Yeah. And here we're having a fight with the body, but he doesn't accept that Krishna is...
Their only business is to escape Krishna.